In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The ministry of Jesus starts with a bang at his baptism. I mean, it's not every day that you hear of the heavens opening, the Holy Spirit descending, and the Father declaring from heaven, "This is my beloved Son." You know it happens because you hear about it. We, you know, talk about that last Sunday. We celebrated here in the church, you know, the baptism of our Lord. But apparently, the crowd in Jesus' time doesn't see anything special. So I would like to invite you to look through their eyes at the 3 days of today's gospel reading from John chapter 1. On the first of these days, a bunch of people are washed with water by John the Baptist. On the next day, John points out one of the bunch by saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He tells them that the Spirit descended and remained on Jesus, even if they didn't see it. And then he tells the crowd that this ordinary-looking man from Nazareth is the Son of God. On the next day, he again points out Jesus as the Lamb of God. And two of his disciples follow Jesus and talk with him. One of them finds his brother Peter and tells him that they have found the Messiah. And now Jesus has 3 disciples. See how it goes? What you see is this. John tells people about Jesus, and some believe and follow him. That's how evangelism worked back then, and that's how it works today. It feels and it all looks very ordinary, though. The day of Jesus' baptism, and the next day, and the next day, eyes see nothing unusual. But faith rejoices in this amazing truth that God Himself has come to our space and time in order to be our Savior. Now, take an ordinary Sunday at Faith Lutheran. And what do our eyes see? Our eyes see a real random sample of people gathered together. They stand up and sit down. They listen, they sing, and they speak. Some go forward for a tiny meal, others don't. A child or two acts up, and somebody nods off to sleep. Occasionally, a baby gets some water splashed on its head. It all looks rather ordinary. And perhaps, for many, it's not exciting at all. But what does faith see? Faith sees the Holy Spirit gather people together according to His work and will. Once they are gathered together, the Son of God speaks to His people by means of the word that they hear, and that word gives life as they sing and speak it into each other's ears. Heaven and earth come together as the Lord enters our space and time again to give His people forgiveness, life, and salvation. Angels, archangels, and the whole company of heaven accompany the people here as they sing the praises of God. And the Son of God goes so far as to give his people his own body and blood for their salvation. It will be the same next Sunday. And the next Sunday after that. Your eyes will tempt you to believe it's all very unremarkable. Meanwhile, faith sees the door cracked open to heaven and takes a peek. People are attracted to the spectacular over the ordinary. Today, of course, as you know, there are 3 important football games on TV. A sporting event like that, it's quite the adrenaline rush and emotional roller coaster. And that's a draw for people. There is a reason why the games are broadcast internationally and why the NFL can charge between $200 and $6,500 per ticket to get into the Ravens game tonight against the Cincinnati Bengals. For reasons that will not make you scratch your head, we do not charge $200 a seat. And the big networks are not banging down the door to broadcast our services. I confess, you know, that watching American football is not top priority on my list. But sometimes I watch a bit to see the score. However, you know, a quick comparison. Those football games are about grown men running around the field to advance a ball across a line using mostly their hands in a ball that is not shaped like a ball. Just saying. In contrast to that, we have the Son of God come down from heaven to give us grace and eternal life here. They have cheerleaders who don't actually lead cheers. We have angels and archangels join us the music. They will charge $20 for a hot dog. Here, the Son of God gives a holy meal bought for you by his own blood. Sure, they will have a huge worldwide audience who have the game in common. But here, we are joined in Christ to his living saints around the world and throughout history. At the end of the game, half of the fans will be disappointed. Here, all the people of God share in the victory. All of this is absolutely true, which is why if we had church on Sunday afternoons, faith would gladly skip the Super Bowl even if the Ravens were playing. But whether or not it's football, people are tempted to see church not as important because, well, it's so ordinary. And because You will be there next Sunday too. Of course, if a pandemic doesn't hit us again. That's just one comparison. I trust that you have a Bible at home or, you know, on your phone. And in Scripture, in the Bible, you have the living Word of God that strengthens your faith and gives you eternal life as God speaks to you. It's so easy to pass over a daily study of Scripture for anything else. TV show, hours on social media, a book that gives you no such gifts. And while reading the Bible daily, you know, requires discipline, probably you will never hear someone say this: I need to force myself to watch Netflix for at least 20 minutes per day because I know it's good for me. There are quite a few things at work here. One is simply an aversion to the things of God. Your sinful flesh wants anything but the things of God. If there is a choice between reading the Bible or staring at a blank wall, our old sinful nature wants to study paint texture. There is no easier place for daydreaming than church, because our sinful nature is squirming as the Word of God defeats it again and again. And of course, our sinful nature never wants to accept the blame, so he blames everything else. Like, how boring are the pastor and church music, or it's too early, or too late, or too long, or too loud. At the same time, you know, this is all a distraction. If a pastor speaks the absolution in a dusty monotone and maybe with a little bit of an accent, the words spoken still deliver forgiveness and eternal life. The same cannot be said for the most excited announcer calling the winning touchdown. Be careful when you find fault outside yourself. Even when there is fault to find, your sinful nature will use it to push your sin on someone else and keep you away from the gifts of God. Another thing at work is love for the spectacular. There is within us the love for something new, something different, something out of the routine. I think that's why we, you know, take vacations. But this is a gift of God that leads to imagination and creativity. But I have to tell you that it's also terribly abused. It is abused when you reject God's ordinary gifts, because they are the same as they always have been. Remember that what you call ordinary, God calls consistently faithful. Consistently faithful. I suppose that if we only had church on Christmas and Easter, maybe we would, you know, do it up big and they would be super special services. I suppose if we only celebrated the Lord's Supper once a year, it would seem more special to us. But remember that the church is the bride of Christ. And if a husband and wife only see each other twice a year for an hour, that's going to be a pretty awful marriage. And if they only ate once a year, they would not survive. Absence doesn't make the heart grow fonder. And starvation doesn't strengthen. In both congregations and marriage, love is forged by the ongoing routine presence with one another, going about the most ordinary things. For God has made His greatest gifts to be the most ordinary. The third factor is a combination of the first two. Because you have an aversion to the things of God, and because, you know, you have this love for the spectacular, you would like a different message than God hanging dead on a cross for your redemption. Our old sinful nature prefers messiahs with capes. This takes us back to John the Baptist, as he reveals the Messiah to his listeners. And you are familiar with them. But listen again. It's a strange way to introduce the almighty, eternal Son of God who will come again to judge the living and the dead. John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John doesn't say, "Behold, the eagle of God," or "Behold, the lion of God," or "Behold, the unbeatable T-Rex of God." Not some other frightening creature metaphor. John calls Jesus the Lamb. And what are lambs good for? Lambs are good for dying, for bleeding as a sacrifice. People are not intimidated by lambs. Ever since the book of Exodus, God has declared them to be sacrificial victims to take away sins and save from death. And I think it's not what the people would expect to hear, right? I mean, think of going to a stadium to see, if you could, the Incredible Hulk in person. And when you arrive, the angry green giant appears on stage and gives a mild-mannered lecture on counted cross stitches. Not what you would expect or hope for, right? Jesus has not come in the flesh to leap tall buildings, to take away the sins of the world. He performs miracles, but only to show He has the power to defeat sin. Attracted to the spectacular, you would rather have the sort of Messiah who bangs heads together and takes names, because then you would expect him to follow up by giving you a glorious, carefree life. But that's not the way of God, who saves by his love, by his service, his sacrifice, his blood. He comes as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus comes to take away your sin. That's why we hear, we say, we sing of the Lamb of God in our services, especially in the Agnus Dei, just before we receive his body and blood. Although he veils his glory, the Son of God, who gave his life in your place, visits you to forgive you, to strengthen your faith, and renew your salvation through his word and supper. And if this is how he chooses to do it, we don't ask if the Lord would be kind enough to mix up things just a bit for our enjoyment. No. We gratefully say, blessed be the name of the Lord. So rejoice, my friends. The Lord is faithful. He is consistently faithful. Today, and the next day, and the next day after that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.